from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of February, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we should be joined live by Dave Seibert over at the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale in Springfield. We'll talk to him about the bull sale and the actual results from the day. I also was there earlier this morning, so we'll hear a tape report from him a bit later in this program. And then at the end of this half hour, meteorologist Peter Levitt will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. It all happens right here, of course, on the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The March wheat at 519.5, up 8.75 on the afternoon. May up 8 cents at 531. And July wheat futures at 543.25, 8.5 higher. September contract 566.75, up 9. March corn futures 353.25, 4 cents higher. May futures at 362, up 4. And July contract at 371.5, 4.25 higher. September contract 381, up a nickel. December futures at 393.75, 6.25 higher. And the March corn futures 406.5, up 5.75. March crude oil futures are up 486 at this hour. Ethanol is up just about a half a cent. March soybean futures down 3 for the day at 884.5. The May at 886, down 1/2. And July futures 891.5. 0.75 cents lower. August contract at 8.83, a penny higher on the afternoon. That July, by the way, in the bean pit was up 0.75, not down at 8.91.5. September at 8.57, up 4.25. And November beans at 8.45, up 9.25 for the day. The March bean meal futures at this hour, 276.50. A settlement price 90 cents higher. The May futures at 273.90, down 60 for the day. March bean oil unchanged at 30.42. May bean oil at 30.75. up 1 on the afternoon. March feeders at 90.62.5, up $1.60. April lean hogs at 60.57, 22.5 cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. March crude oil futures today at $39.48 are up $4.86 a barrel. The April at $40.18, $2.77 higher. March ethanol $1.54.5, up a half cent. April at $1.54.5 as well. It's a tenth of a cent higher. Natural gas at $4.73, down 14.1 of a cent. And the RBOB gasoline at 108.9, 2.4 higher for the day. March heating oil futures $1.19.9, up 5.2. March propane, a penny and 6 cents lower at 62.5 cents. And the gold futures are down $1.60 at $976.10 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 74.97. It's down 58 on the afternoon. U.S. dollar at 87.43 is down 0.61 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. Tonight, our own Mike Sola says in northern Indiana should be mostly cloudy. Some isolated lake-effect snow squalls, elsewhere mostly clear. Lows this evening will range from 5 in northwestern Illinois to near 25 in the far south. Friday, in northern and western Illinois, increasing cloudiness, a slight chance of a scattered snow shower or two during the afternoon. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range from 25 in the north to 48 in the far southern parts of Illinois tomorrow. Cooler than average temps and a moderately active weather pattern will persist across the Midwest, he says, until the middle of next week. A quick moving storm system will dive from the Canadian provinces toward the eastern Corn Belt, dropping a band of heavy snow Friday night into the weekend. The highest snowfall is likely to track from northeastern Illinois towards west central Ohio. Some heavy lake effect snow is likely in the wake of that system.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is with us today. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
You're still on the road, I see.
Yeah, I'm on my way back from a couple meetings in Indiana yesterday and this morning.
Yeah, have you had a chance really to keep track of what's been happening in the marketplace? It's been pretty interesting for the week. I know we talked to you yesterday at Cooley's office.
Yes, today we did see at least some recovery. I do know that you know soybeans kind of gave it up there at the end, but I do think the type of price action that we did see here today in corn, soybeans, and wheat is suggesting that maybe this market is poised to try to recover some of the losses that we've seen at least earlier this week as we go through next week, which is the last week of the month.
Can you talk to me just a little bit about how you see the short and long-term cycles for corn and then soybeans?
Well, I think short term here, like I said, I think the market is really ripe for a short covering technical rally over the next few days. Then we'll have to kind of settle back and see whether or not it has any legs or not. I think, well, at least over the next 30 days, it looks like the market is going to continue to struggle. But I do think as you look into the April or the March-April time frame, mostly April, May probably, when the new growing season begins to kind of really come into focus, I would expect that the market would continue to get those new crop production jitters, not necessarily knowing what the acreage mix is going to be, not necessarily knowing what kind of weather pattern we're going to have for the growing season. So I do think as we look down the road, we're going to get into a normal seasonal type situation of early production worries. But I think probably here in the next 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, there is a lot of old crop movement that's probably going to take place. I think that's going to weigh on the marketplace and kind of keep probably any kind of major price strength pretty well intact, at least for the time being here, Todd.
As you talk to farmers, what are they asking most often?
Well, as I maybe mentioned that yesterday, the most asked question when we were down at the Louisville Farm Show, as people walked by our booth and was looking at the quote machine, was, what is November beans doing? So I do think that that is a strong indication that they're giving some serious thoughts to planting more bean acres and or maybe being forced into it for financial reasons to plant more bean acres. I think in the front here in the short term, probably some of the biggest concerns is what should I do with my old crop corn? I think for the most part, farmers probably own too much old crop corn. They've been betting that we would kind of see a February rally very similar to what we've experienced over the past couple years as the market, you know, looked ahead at so-called battle acreage when the market was looking at an expanding demand base. Now we're looking at something more stable or more stagnant, and the market is struggling and not necessarily worrying about whether or not we have a couple million acres more or a couple million acres less of corn or soybeans.
Well, what is the long-term impact, you think, if we put more beans into the ground?
Well, I think that's going to be friendly, the corn market. I think corn market has a couple, several things going for it in the long run. When they come into play and really catch and give the market some traction, that timing, like I said, I think is more apt to be when the early part of the growing season going. But I do think a smaller acreage base for corn, you know, tightens up supply. The short Argentine corn crop is going to open up the door for maybe upwards of 300, 400 million bushels of corn export demand that could maybe come to the United States. And I do think that, you know, as we look down the road, the renewable fuels mandate is going to probably be a positive longer term. I think the ethanol market will make a comeback as we look down the road. So I do think the corn market is getting in alignment anyway to at least have something a little more constructive than what we've experienced here over the past 2 to 3 months. But on the other side, you know, if we're going to maybe shorten up the supply of corn, it looks like the soybean situation may go the other way. But we've got a lot of growing season weather ahead of us. A lot of water is going to go underneath the bridge. And there's no doubt that if you just at first blush, if you work through a balance sheet, looking at a big acreage increase in soybeans, we're going to be back into the building stock scenario, and that will offer some, you know, downside resistance, or at least resistance to any major price strength.
How worried are they, the farmer, that is, about their income stream for the coming year, and not in comparison to the good year that they had this year or the previous year, but in comparison to a really bad year potentially?
Well, of course, it depends upon who you talk to, and I mean, it depends upon whether or not they've been very aggressive in accumulating, you know, more land possession, whether it's through high cash rent levels or whether it's through purchasing high price land. I mean, those fellows are definitely more concerned than probably the more conservative farmer that really hasn't been out real aggressive on cash rent bidding, not has kind of played it pretty close to the vest. So you do have a couple different classes out there. I don't necessarily want to use the word classes, but a couple different different situations. And of course, the ones with the higher input costs, they're a little concerned because, I mean, when you look at new crop corn prices, and you've got your fertilizer booked at the higher price levels, you've got your seed corn booked at some of the higher price levels, it's scary, because, we're playing around with a lot of dollars now. I mean, you know, years ago, or I guess only a few years ago when we only had about a 75-cent range in the price of corn, I mean, that only amounted to $100 to $150 gross range per acre. Nowadays, you know, we're talking about that almost in a weekly range type thing. So they're concerned. The more moderate conservative farmers, you know, they're, I think, are pretty well braced for a lean year after having a pretty good year last year.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
No, other than I think the outside market activities, I think the strength in crude oil is generally positive because we are holding a long-term uptrend line drawn off of some mid-90 low points. And I do think the dollar weakness that we saw today is maybe an encouraging sign that maybe the market, the dollar may not go on up through its highs that we made here in November. So those are kind of some things that I think everybody needs to kind of watch out, because those are going to be indicators of which way corn and soybean prices go over the next several weeks.
Dan, thanks much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group. He's out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Hey, if you get the opportunity and you're in the Paris, Illinois area, drop by tonight at, 6:30, I think, at the Knights of Columbus there in Paris for a free Ag Outlook panel. It's sponsored in part by First Bank and Trust and, of course, by WILL. Darrell Good will be there, University of Illinois Extension Agricultural Economist, along with Terry Monson from Premier Ag out of Rantoul, and Ken Holzapfel, who's with Total Grain Marketing out of Effingham. They'll make up the ag panel, but there are a couple of other folks that should be important for you to hear from, too. Jean Payne will be there from the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. She's the president, executive director of that association. Can talk to us a bit about fertilizer prices. And then we'll have somebody from Monsanto there to talk about Monsanto's position in the marketplace. That all happens tonight. Kicks off with the presentations at 6:30. There is a dinner earlier, but that's if you're RSVP'd for that, you can come. But otherwise, come for the presentations that start at 6:30 tonight. Again, Darrell Good will be there, Terry Munson, Ken Holzapfel, Gene Payne, and some folks from Monsanto. That's tonight at the Knights of Columbus in Paris, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
And don't forget, you can always hear ag programming from WILL and the Closing Mark Report anytime you'd like. Right there on our website, the address is willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. Visit our website, sign up for our newsletter. If you can't get to those, you can always listen to us on the telephone. The number is 217-333-3434. Hey, up next, we'll talk with Dave Seibert, extension educator from the University of Illinois. I caught up with him this morning while I was over in Springfield at the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. That program, of course, kicked off at 11 o'clock. I asked him all about it.
That's right. This is our 41st year. We have 78 bulls we're going to sell in a sale, and we have a predominant Angus bulls as we have had the last previous years. Actually, 54 head of Angus, 24 head of Simmental, and one of polled Herefords.
Why do you put this together?
It's two reasons. We're, of course, working in extension. We're in the educational business, and we want to really make sure that the purebred seed stock breeders that are performance-oriented really utilize all the technology that's available, meaning EPDs and scrotal circumference, pelvic measurements, all those types of things. And second of all, we want to make sure that the commercial producers, cow-calf producers in state, irregardless if they come to our sale or any sale, that they demand this type of information, all the different traits that's available, from growth traits to calving ease to carcass traits to dollar value indexes, as well as a number of measured traits.
What kind of impact has it had over the years on the cattle industry in the state and the Midwest?
Well, just on longevity, this is our 41st year. Number of bulls sold, we sold over 4,100 bulls. And, of course, as new technology comes into play, meaning originally from looking at the animal to just looking at weight per day of age to looking at adjusted weights to now EPDs, these are items that the seed stock, purebred industry tends to utilize. And I think it's really the commercial man's demanding it now, as well as seed stock breeders is utilizing it. So it really has had a big impact on the beef cattle industry in Illinois.
Speaking of technology, is there any kinds of technology that take place on these animals just before or prior to the sale or the day of the sale? Do you do scans on them of sorts? What kinds of things happen?
Well, of course, beyond sending all their performance to the breed association, having that process through there, all the Angus have to be scanned ahead of time, meaning they have real-time ultrasonics where they come in and scan that ribeye, which is the size of like that ribeye sandwich. Also marbling, which is the little flakes of fat that really gives us our juiciness and tenderness. Now, when they come in here, we collect several different items on them. Frame score, they have to fall within a frame window, meaning how big they are, how tall they are. Second of all, we catch scrotal circumference, which is a measure of fertility and number of animals those bulls can breed. Next, we also catch pelvic measurements. And then last of all, they have to meet a weight requirement, so we catch a weight on them and also make them meet a weight per day of age requirement.
And you did all that last night or this morning?
Well, we did it yesterday. Today is a sale on Thursday. We actually did it Wednesday morning from 8 to noon. They come in and process those bulls through. We also evaluate them for structural soundness. And if they don't meet our criteria, which, of course, we had a bull that we took out because he wasn't structurally sound enough. We started out 5 bulls yesterday just in our processing.
And so you started thinking that you would have, what, 100, and more than 100, 115, but you only have 78 bulls in the sale. Is that what you said?
Yeah, actually, we started out with 128 bulls. Those are the number of bulls that were nominated for the sale. I pulled out 11 bulls even before I cataloged the bulls. And, of course, we did catalog 117. And then there's a number of requirements that I keep saying, you have to meet this criteria and that criteria. And, of course, they know, you know, because they monitor those at home. So there was a number of bulls that just didn't make it down here. And then, of course, of those bulls that came down here, we took out another 5 bulls. So we have a very select set of bulls here.
The pre-qualification to get into the sale is really tough. Producers have to work hard to do that, don't they?
That's right. They have to be performance-oriented. And we have like a power score we sell our bulls from. And I kicked some bulls out before they even came down because they didn't meet my, you know, power score, even before I cataloged them. So there's many, many, you know, steps they have to go through to meet our requirement. And that's what we want to do. We want to set the gold standard for everything to do with bull selection, and hopefully the product we're selling down here will really add value to the commercial man, or there'll be a certain percentage of them go into purebred herds. I have a purebred breeder from the state of Maryland who comes every other year and buys bulls out of my sale. He is here this year, and he will buy bulls, and he feels that it merits his trip here.
The auction's on. We're starting with Murphy's lot number 5.
How long will it take to sell them, and are your expectations that the sale price will be down this year because of the economy, although the farm economy has been pretty decent?
Yeah, it won't take that long. Probably two and a half hours to sell the bulls. I mean, once we get in the rhythm of selling them, we'll sell them pretty fast because all the data is in the book, and we don't tend to overemphasize that because it's there and everything. As far as price, I'm not sure because, as you mentioned, things are, you know, people aren't sure exactly what's going to happen with the economy. But I think the thing that we have to remember, the bulls we're selling now, they are going to have a marketable calf 2 years from now. They are going to have the finished product 3 years from now. So by then, things can totally be different in the beef cattle industry simply because we have the smallest cow herd we have had for a long time. And I would think that the offsprings of these, when they go to market, might have possibly some of the highest prices we've had.
And how many people do you expect in the audience, and how many bidders?
I would suspect bidders. We usually have around 100 bidders, maybe 150, some years of many more than that. I'm not sure exact numbers this year. I think we'll be a little lighter on numbers. We could easily have, you know, 400 or 500 people here.
Thanks much, Dave.
Thank you.
And good luck with the sale today.
It's a pleasure being. I appreciate you coming over, and we sure appreciate the bidders coming in. We mainly cater Illinois, but throughout the Midwest, we've had bulls go to Montana. We got a guy here who buys for the bulls to go to Montana.
Dave Seibert is an extension educator from the Peoria office. I'm Todd Gleason.
40, now 3, 5, 43, 9, 4, 5, 45.
Now live from the auction, and of course this was recorded a bit earlier, but live at the auction now, Tom Sachs is on the line with us. I think they're probably finished with the auction there. Is that right, Tom?
As the auction is complete.
Well, Tom is an animal systems team member, or was an animal system team member here at the University of Illinois. You've got some numbers for me. How did the sale go?
Well, Todd, 54 Angus averaged $2,450, 22 Simmentals averaged $2,191, one polled Hereford brought $2,450, the 78 head together averaged $2,371.
Thanks much, Tom, for that update of the Illinois Performance Tested Bull, and you have a good afternoon.
Thank you.
That's Tom Sachs. He's over at the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale in Springfield. I'm Todd Gleason. Back in 2 minutes.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius was born. A German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's this day in agricultural history.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Pete Levitt, meteorologist, is on the line with us on a Thursday to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Hi, Pete.
Yes, good afternoon, Todd.
We've been talking about some rough times in the Southwest, fairly dry, and it's going to get apparently hot there. Do you want to start with them, and then we'll move across the globe?
Yeah, okay. That was going to be my area of concern today is the Southwest, which is the hard winter wheat belt, which has been having some extraordinarily dry, hot, and occasionally windy conditions. Now, hot relative to normal. I mean, it's not really up in the 80s or 90s, but it is very warm and very dry. And this crop never really had a very good start in the southwestern half of the hard winter wheat belt, that is western central Kansas up into parts of southern Nebraska, and then down into Texas as well. So we've got a crop that's been struggling through the winter, and now it's going to be hit by a week or two or perhaps longer of mostly dry weather, a lot of wind at times, and above normal temperatures.
And then check out on other places around the globe you'd like to talk about, please.
Well, let's put Argentina to rest for a while. Anyway, they're going to get showers in northern Argentina this week, so the decline there, I think, in crops, it's done all it can to the corn crop, and the second soybean crop will probably benefit pretty well with some additional rains. It'll be warm down there. It's getting a little too wet in Brazil, however, and we're going to hear about that, I think, by the end of this week, that maybe they'd like the rain to stop in Brazil. It's going to be too wet. Another area we're looking at in China, we've got some cold air covering northern China. It's going to stay there. It's going to be very warm in South China, and in between there'll be a broad band of rain and some of it heavy. And I think we've got a good chance of seeing by the end of this coming week some flooding rains in central, east central China, down the Yangtze Valley and north of that into maybe just the southern reaches of the Yellow River Valley, the Wanghou.
And let's wind up back here at home because it looks like there might be a heavy band of snowfall across the upper Midwest this weekend.
Yeah, it's a little sort of a clipper-type storm. It's going to come down. It's a fast mover. That's the good news. But the energy is going to concentrate in a ribbon of snow from about northeastern Iowa and east-central Iowa across northern Illinois. Southern Illinois won't see much out of this. But there could be a burst of pretty good snow on Saturday morning across northern Illinois, especially northeastern Illinois, and may see up to 6 inches up in this one. There'll be a quick mover, a short mover, and then it turns quite cold behind that. So what else is new? It's been cold for a while there. And we'll see below normal temperatures next week. But I don't see any other major storms coming after this one goes whipping by this weekend.
Pete, thanks much for joining us.
My pleasure.
We'll talk to you again next week. That's Pete Levitt, meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday. I'm off to Paris, Illinois, headed for the Knights of Columbus. If you want to join us tonight for an ag panel, it starts at 6:30 with presentations for free. If you RSVP'd for the dinner, of course, that starts at 5. It's sponsored by First Bank and Trust out of Paris. We'll be at the KC. Daryl Good from the U of I will be along with us, and Terry Munson from Premier Ag and Rantoul. Ken Holzapfel of Total Grain Marketing out of Effingham, and Jean Payne. She's the president of the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists.